Welcome again to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman, and co-hosting with me today will be Jan Janais. This episode will be discussing the 1-1 draw for Fulham against Cardiff City at Craven Cottage. We have much to discuss with this match, but before I do anything, I have to welcome my co-host back to the show. Mr. Janais, how you doing?
Hello! I tell you what, I'm glad I'm here and not in Florida. But then again, I'm glad I'm here and not in Cardiff.
Okay.
Because I've been to Cardiff. I'm just going to leave it at that. Okay. But it's been quite the week, the international break, and I suppose some worst case scenarios when we came back with players injured. And so we had to put out a different lineup today. That was an entertaining game today, and maybe we should have got the 3 points. But unfortunately for me, the story of the game actually revolves around two individuals. Number one, Neil Warnock, and number two, Tony the Pony Harrington, the ref. And he is a pony. That's all I'm going to say. Just awful.
Okay. Well, you and I were talking off air before we started recording this that I like to have the view that the match is won or lost by the teams. And I should say this was a draw, so it's not even won or lost.
Yeah.
But the ref here was a factor. He made himself a factor. And all I ask from a ref is to call it both ways. If you're being bad for one team, be bad for both. Giannis, it just didn't seem that way watching this match. I don't want to spend too much time talking about the ref, but I just want him to be consistent. My gut feeling here, he wasn't consistent.
Yeah, our good friend Scott Tanfield is probably listening to this podcast right now. And, Scott, we love your views and da-da-da and... You were very vocal after the game today, but respectfully, I have to disagree with what you had to say about this game today, because it's tough enough playing in this league, and you're playing, it was nearly 21,000, biggest attendance of the season, very good travelling support from Cardiff City. You're playing against 11 men, but you're also playing against an idiotic head coach in Warnock, a bench who just couldn't behave. And a referee who today, I don't know what he was up to. Is he from Swansea or Aberystwyth or Carmarthen or Brecon? Where the hell is he coming? That was one of the poorest refereeing performances I've seen in a long, long time. And had we won today, it would have been despite the ref, despite the linesman and the fourth official, despite the behavior of their bench. And Warnock. And yep, they got the equaliser. But to me, the big thing that came out of this was just the refereeing and the behaviour on the bench was just so shocking. It was very, very poor advert for game. And notwithstanding, Russ, lots and lots of time wasting, really, from the first minute.
Time.
And for a team that was 5-0, I mean, with the one lineup we had, we did as best we could. But, oh, man. I mean, when are these refs going to be made accountable for some of this nonsense? It was shocking.
Listen, we just talked about this before we started. They had a game plan, and part of that was time wasting. It was there for everyone to see. They were time wasting. They had tactics that they were using. They were physical, which is fine. They're physical, not a problem. But the ref needs to get control of this match, Giannis. He did not have control of this match at all, and it definitely is a factor in what happens. Ultimately, Fulham did not do enough to win the match, and they get the 1-1 draw. Like I said, I just want my referee to not get in the way, to play it both ways, and make it an even playing field. I did not feel that it was an even playing field. Again, I still go back to this, but I put it on Fulham because they did not do enough to win the match. But the ref is a factor here, Giannis. I'm sorry. I have to say it.
Bill Belichick words, do your job.
Everybody,
do your job. When that whistle is blown, look, when 21,000 people show up to watch a game, you want the players to do their jobs. You want the coaches to have done their job and keep doing their job. You want the officials to do their job. It's really that, it's not rocket science. And again, and you said it perfectly. You never mind a bad ref, providing he or she is consistent. If they're bad, be consistent. You've given Button a yellow card for time wasting. Etheridge is time wasted since the first minute, and he got nothing. I mean, some of the stuff, some of the challenges. I think there could have been two red cards given out today. And I'm not even included Sol Bamba in some of his challenges. Some of his challenges were frankly just appalling. And what the ref is doing, I don't know. I don't. And then there was the situation with Molo, where the game stopped. The fourth official gets the ref over. They're trying to get the players and the bench are trying to get Molo sent off.
That's right.
What are you doing? And then, as if that wasn't bad enough, in the post-match press conference, Warnock is having a bitch fest about the ref, saying that they should have got a penalty. Like, yep. You miserable moron. You know what? On their jerseys, the sponsors of Visit Malaysia. Here's a thought. Go to Heathrow and get a flight there and stay there. That's fine. Don't come back. I mean, they were so lucky to be in this game. Lovely equaliser. They played their part. But, man, were they helped. They helped along the way. And if that's going to be their tactic this year, when they come up against the really good sides, they're done for. We were unlucky today. You know, one of those games, but... Oh, yeah. You know, one of those where you feel like headbutting a wall because you just... it's not going to go... You're just not going to get the rub. You're not going to get the rub from it. And this ranger was running around in the the ref. Tony the bloody pony. Tony the two-legged pony. Mother of God. Two-legged pony, I'd take him out for a drag every night, and he still wouldn't be of any use. Just awful.
Okay, my friend. We spent way too much time talking about the refs here.
The pony.
Let's focus on the match way too much, just because they don't deserve it. Honestly, they shouldn't be part of this discussion. That's the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah, that's
refs
right.
Refs aren't supposed to be part of this podcast. They're supposed to be.
Yeah.
And that's the part of all of this, Giannis. We're supposed to be talking about the football, not the refs, but we're talking about the refs for a reason.
Yeah, that's sad, isn't it? I mean, that's it right there. That's it right there. How do you give – how it's impossible to give credence to performance that speaks for itself by the ref and by Warnock and his little bench. It's impossible. You can't – it's not defendable. It's appalling. And I'm sure there are Cardiff fans. The Cardiff bought a fantastic, following today. They made lots of noise. They were excellent. But even some of them must be thinking, "What is this? I mean, this is embarrassing. Like, come on, But Warnock is like that. Warnock's not a great technical manager. Russ, he never has been. He's always been.
He's a great motivator.
Yeah, that's what he does, and he does it well. Don't get me wrong. But if you look at their team today and you look at their bench, they're not deep. They're not deep, and they've not had injuries. And you know what? There are a few injuries away from having some problems, you know. So we had a number of injuries today, obviously, in absentees. And considering what we put out, and if you look at the bench, we've done all right. And, I'm looking forward to Hull City, our favorite team, Hull, and hopefully putting a few past them on Wednesday.
I'm looking forward to that match. We'll talk about that briefly at the end of the show. I think that it's a wonderful opportunity. And I watched a bunch of video on Hull City because I can watch back that match from Derby County. And it was brutal, the way that they played. And I'm encouraged by what I watched. We'll see what happens on Wednesday.
But Russ, there was good news. There was one piece of good news today.
And that is?
And we didn't mention this. The fact that our friend, Jazz Richards, didn't get off the bench.
Well, see, I was disappointed by that, Giannis, because I wanted to target him.
But that's where Warnock did get it right, because he's probably thinking he's probably thinking the only pony that has two legs around here is probably Jazz, and he's only got one, and I'm not bringing him off the bench because I know what's going to happen. Can you imagine for a second Sessegnon going at Richards?
Oh, I was praying for that, Giannis. I was praying for that.
I know, but that's where Warnock did get it right. And sometimes you look at the bench, but you can think, we'd need the apocalypse to happen for me to bring him on off the bench. It's not going to happen. Luckily, I only have to use three of these seven. And let's face facts, his mum probably would have had a better chance to come off the bench than Jazz today. So, you know, and all the greatest respect to her. So I was delighted he didn't come off the bench, although it would have been funny had he done so. He'd have got rung by the full and faithful.
Oh, it would have been very interesting. I said in the preview show, I wanted him to play because I wanted for him to target him and just run at him all day. That's what I wanted to see, Giannis. But he didn't play, which was probably a good move by Neil Warnock. Very good point by you to mention that. Okay, Giannis, let's talk about the starting 11. But before we do that, we have to talk about the players that were missing because, again, they're key factors in this match because they were not available. Four key players from the Ipswich Town victory. They are Rui Font, Niskanen Cabano, Shea Ojo, and yes, Tom Kearney. So when you saw the starting 11 and you knew these players were not available, what were your thoughts?
Well, they're huge losses. I mean, Ojo, there's a question mark as to whether Ojo's a starter. I know he played against Ipswich, but considering that, and if you look at our starting 11, it was still a good starting 11. I know the good news was that Floyd Ayite was coming back. The ability to give Molo his first start in a Fulham jersey. Obviously, Ibrahima Cisse coming in, who's tended to play away from home. You know, they're huge losses. And unfortunately for every head coach, every manager has this, you know, this phobia and fear, and rightly so. The international break usually involves two games. And you can ill afford to miss, you know, to get players injured. But Tom Kearney actually pulled himself out of the Scotland squad for the two games. So it was clear that the injury that he had then was more serious than we were led to believe. That hence why he was out today. But you know what? At least it's showing that our squad does have some depth that players can come in. And even with the bench, with those four absentees, we still had some quality to come off the bench. As you can see, hey, Oliver Norwood was outstanding for Northern Ireland.
Yep.
In the two games international break. And he did a good job when he came on. And Abubakar Kamara,
yep.
You know what, came on and certainly made a difference too. So
absolutely. We're going to talk about them in a little bit.
Yeah,
I mean, whether you mention them.
It's impact. And so, you know, it's disappointing that you got big key players out. But you know what? For us to get promoted or be in the playoff picture, we have to have strength in breadth, but we have to have strength in depth. And the fact that we have strength and depth was shown by the line we were able to put out today, despite the absentees.
Right. And to be honest with you, when I looked at it, I was actually glad to see Floyd Ayite because I predicted on the preview show that he might be able to start. He might be the starter here instead of Kamara. I could have gone either way on that, but I'm glad that Floyd Ayite started. So I kind of understood where Savisa was going on that. And we're going to be talking about Kamara in a little bit as well because he definitely had an impact. The one that surprised me, Giannis, was Cisse instead of Oliver Norwood. But as you saw the match play out, they were very physical. He was brought in for a particular reason.
Yeah, especially the second game that Norwood played in the week against the Czech Republic was a very physical affair. And Norwood is one of those players under Michael O'Neill who's done an absolutely magnificent job for Northern Ireland. Has really put him in the forefront. And that's why I was surprised we got him from Brighton, because I think he's a quality player. But they're a physical team, so he's decided to bring CC in. And I don't have a problem with that, because Rolls and particularly Gunnarsson are physical players. And that was going to – CC and McDonald are a good good counterpunch, so to speak. So it was a good tactical move. And Johansson was going to have to be the one that was going to be the creator and the craft and making the runs from deep, and he did a very good job of that today. It was an interesting lineup, but it was a good lineup. It's not one that would ordinarily worry you and shouldn't worry you. And although at times in the first half, you know, they put us a little bit under the cosh, we came in around near the end of the first half and played very well second half. So the lineup was right and the subs were right, but you know, as we'd said at the start, you know, if everything goes according to plan, it's fine. And you never want a game settled because of an official. You want it to be via the players on the pitch. And that's where my questions will lie tonight and tomorrow in terms of the quality of officiating. But the lineup was good.
Okay, excellent there, my friend. All right, let's transition. Let's talk about the first half. And I told you off air that I thought the first half, a good part of it, a decent part of it, was dictated by Cardiff City, as they really just showed their type of play. They were dictating how they wanted to play more than Fulham. It took a while for Fulham to really get into gear. Like you mentioned, late in the first half, they finally did get in the gear. But I have to give credit to Cardiff City because they had a game plan. They stuck to it. and it worked for them for a good part of the first half.
Yeah.
And again, they started off strong. They had a couple free kicks early on in the game, so they were really showing their style and weren't allowing Fulham to play. And it took a while. Let's now move on to the 23rd minute. You do have the shot from Sessegnon that just goes wide. This is the first good opportunity from Fulham. And then just 4 minutes later, you have the opportunity from Cardiff City from Mendes Lang. And then you have those crazy yellow cards, Giannis, from Malo and Bennett. Again, we didn't get a good look at it, but they both got yellow cards that started the whole situation with the refs for me was this situation. And then a little bit later, you have the opportunity, a nice shot from Malo on a free kick that just went wide. I definitely want your thoughts on his play as we get through this match.
Yep.
And then you have the really good opportunities. Giannis, I think we'll look back at it and says this was a lost opportunity, these two shots here. In the 43rd minute, you have the shot by Johansson and the follow-up by Floriete. It was a tough angle, but you got to give credit to Neil Etheridge, former Fulham goalkeeper. Yep. He got it done, my friend. He got it done. He made these saves because if he doesn't, I think the match is completely different here. This was the best opportunity in the first half of Fulham were these two shots here. All right, yeah. My friend, I want to get your thoughts on the first half.
Cardiff played well. I mean, they were physical. They obviously had a game plan, although part of that game plan was to put us all to sleep by wasting as much time as possible, plus being as physical as they possibly could. And we had a couple of chances. I mean, Sessegnon could have scored a couple in the first half. There was that Molo free kick. And I will say something about Molo. I mean, it was his, you know, he played for about an hour. And considering it was his first action in Fulham, obviously in England, I thought he acquitted himself pretty well. He started getting upset in the second half. There was the issue between him and Bennett. I'm not sure what went on there. I think more may come about. More maybe leaked out, but you know, in case words were also exchanged, where there were some issues there. But I will say that the attitude of Warnock and the bench and the players on the pitch to try and goad him, get him sent off, I thought was really appalling. And it was the ref couldn't have been too bright if he was, you know, taking that into account. There were times to me in the first half where it looked like the ref was losing the plot. And it really could have descended into a gong show. Despite that, though, I thought we played okay in the first half, especially the last 7 or 8 minutes. We started putting them under pressure. We settled down. You've got to remember that, you know, the four changes will have had an impact in terms of the formation, which it did, but also the balance of the side. So that is something that we needed time to sort of, to make the transition into. And we looked at times a little discombobulated, but it was towards the end of the first half we started getting comfortable, and that's when we started putting pressure on their back four. But overall, I thought a decent first half. Cardiff City played their part, but we did have a couple of chances to have gone in the break a goal up.
Okay, excellent there, Giannis. Listen, I'm going to read to you the halftime stats, and I'm curious your thoughts on them, because do they tell the story of the first half? So here they are. Halftime stats, possession, Fulham had 70% to 30%. Shots were even at 6, Giannis. On target, 2-1 in favor of Fulham. Crosses in favor of Cardiff City, 8-4. Attempted passes, 235 to 95 in favor of Fulham. Attacking passes, 84 to 45 in favor of Fulham. This is an interesting one. Passing accuracy, usually Fulham are higher than this, so maybe this does tell you something. They were at 78%, and Cardiff City were at 63%. Aerial duels were in favor of Fulham, 8-2, and that was actually a good stat, too. I was actually surprised by that one. Fouls, Fulham had 8, Cardiff City had 12. That's also a very interesting stat. All right, my friend, do the halftime stats tell you the story of the first half?
Well, to me, it wasn't that dominant. I mean, obviously, we've got the 70% of possession, but Cardiff played their part. I mean, the possession they had tended to be good. They were physical, but they were quick. A couple of players, for me, gave us a few headaches, so to speak, just in terms of their movement. I mean, Zahor had, I thought, a decent game first half. Mendes Lang looked dangerous, but I mean, having said that, you know, it's typical Fulham, really. It's, you know, we always have the majority of the possession. We're all, you know, in terms of percentage, accuracy always tends to be very, very high. Shots on net 6v6, well, that is probably closer to the mark in terms of the sort of first half it was. So, you know, I would say it was a fairly even first half. Cardiff started the game well. We finished the half well. Both teams had chances, but I think 0-0 was probably the right scoreline going into the break.
Okay, excellent there, my friend. All right, let's transition to the second half. And once again, Cardiff City came out strong. They had an opportunity in the 48th minute, but David Budden makes a save off a play from a corner. So not too difficult, but he makes the save. And they were trying to, again, show their style over Fulham style. Now, I now want to transition. I want to ask you your thoughts on these two substitutions, because I think these substitutions were key for Fulham in the second half. In the 54th minute, you have Oliver Norwood coming on for Cisse. And then 4 minutes later, you have Abubakar Kamara coming on for Mala. I want to get your thoughts on these substitutions and how they affected Fulham in the second half, because it seems like to me, Giannis, things picked up when Norwood and Kamara came on.
Yeah, I agree. And I think they were done. I think they were really done. I think there were forced changes as well, because Cisse, I thought, had a good first half, but he was kicked around like a rag doll at times. Some of the challenges going in were particularly meaty and very, very close to the mark. So I think he was carrying a knock going to halftime. So that was a good change. And Mollo, unfortunately, I thought played pretty well, but he was getting goaded. And you know, I was getting concerned that he was going to start getting really antsy, and he'd already been given the yellow card, and I didn't want him to get a red, you know, us go down to 10 men and what have you. So to me it was a forced substitution, but there were positive substitutions, because you know they did make an impact for me. They both came on. And in different ways. Kamara has had, I've read a lot of stick about Kamara.
I want to get your thoughts on him, Giannis, yeah, because I thought he played well, but I want your analysis of his play in this match.
I like him. I think he's raw. I think he's a project and he's a prospect, but he works hard and he's honest. His first touch isn't the greatest thing I've ever seen, but he puts in a big shift and he's still growing into his body. He's still only 22. And I thought he played well when he came on. He was big and strong. The one thing that I really liked about him is the fact that he went at Sol Bamba direct. I thought that was great.
No
and
fear.
And poor Aiete's not the biggest player in the world. And Aiete thought I had a decent game, but Bamba's a handful at the best of times. But Kamara wasn't fazed and intimidated by that. So I thought that was good. And Norwood has really, really developed as a player. And I mean, to the Fulham fans out there, you know, I know that, you know, most of you watch games in the international break, but I'm not sure how many of you have watched Northern Ireland recently. Northern Ireland used to be what we call semi-patsies. You know, you sort of, if you had them in your group, you thought it was, you're relatively certain you get 6 points off them. Going to Windsor Park in Belfast was, you know, fairly easy 3 points. Atmosphere wasn't very good, but they have become a much, much tougher side. And that is because of Michael O'Neill and the ability to organize teams, and Oliver Norwood has been a beneficiary of that. And when he came on, he made a difference. Certainly more creativity, certainly more movement. And I was a little surprised that he didn't start today. But considering the physicality of Cardiff, right. I mean, it's a judgment call, and I think Slava's got it right. But they were positive
now.
Changes. Yeah, and they was positive changes. I mean, they made the difference because we took the lead.
Yes, we did, and that's why I wanted to talk about them before we talked about the opportunities and eventually get to the goal by Ryan Session. Let's now talk about Aiete. He hits the post in the 64th minute. Again, positive signs. And then you have the opportunity, Giannis, 67th minute, Stefan Johansson. I thought he should have scored, but you have to give credit to Joe Bennett for blocking it here. Let's talk about these two opportunities. I thought at this point, we're in trouble. We cannot convert. They're letting these opportunities slip through their fingers here. Let's talk about these two situations.
Both could and should have been goals. I think if we look back, I mean, tomorrow morning we'll get up and say, okay, well, should we have scored one, more than one? Probably. I think the second shot, the second chance, Aiete, was Bennett. And there's a reason we tried desperately to get Bennett here.
He's a good player. I mean, I don't think there's any. I think the reason he stayed at Cardiff was more really to do with social media pressure. I mean, this is where we've gone and where what we've become. But it's Cardiff fans were absolutely enraged, and they, you know, Facebook and Twitter begging him to stay. And why would you go to Craven Cottage and boom, boom, boom? And you saw the value of what he does as a player in terms of his coverage. It's good defending. I mean, it is what it is, and you call it for what it is. But should we have finished? Yeah, probably. But for that second shot, I'm certainly prepared to give Bennett certainly prepared to give him credit. He's a good player, and I think he's a player that at some point a Premier League team is going to come knocking on the door. Because he's good at what he does. He's a good defender, and he's, you know, it's not necessarily running up and down the flanks like a headless chicken. He's simple at what he does, but he does it effectively. So chances, I thought, could have put us in the lead, Russ, but wasn't to be.
No, it wasn't to be. And when I look back and I watched again that Johansson opportunity, and then, like you've been talking very good about the impact of Bennett. If he doesn't do that, then obviously Fulham score. I think they could have scored on both. It was inches on Aite, obviously hits the post, and then you have the Johansson opportunity as well. But everything leads, though, Giannis, in the 75th minute to the goal by Ryan Session. Let's talk about the goal here.
Well, he scored against them last year, I think a couple of times. And Aite, again, is front and center. And it nearly didn't come about because Aite's taken the shot and Bennett has blocked the effort. Again, it's good defending. And but there, you know, there to mop it up was Sessegnon, and considering you could almost say that maybe it was the toughest of the chances he had, but he put it in, and certainly Gentleman Jim was having a cow, and it sounded like, you know, he and Jamie needed some fisherman's friends because it was a lead we deserved. I thought we'd been positive second half for us, and they had been moaning and groaning and gesticulating and putting us all to sleep with their time-wasting tactics. And, you know, it unfortunately, there was an incident right after, and I'm going to mention it was the Peltier yellow card when he took Johansson out. And I remember at the time jumping, going, "That, why is that not a red?" You know, it's a horrible challenge. There's no intent to get the ball, and he's only given a yellow. And to me, 9 times out of 10, that's a red. And you imagine if we go a goal up, and now we're playing against 10 men. But of course, no, that wasn't to be. So, you know, we gave him the chance to make another sub, and then Ward, who came on before the goal, then got his goal. And you know, not a goal, not a good goal, but not a good goal, because I think, you know, we switched off.
What did you see here, Giannis? Because, again, I think this was a preventable situation. So let's talk about the goal by Danny Ward that was set up by Liam Feeney.
It's a Feeney cross. It's a good cross. I mean, he's only just been on the field for crying out. In fact, you know, you got the two subs having the impact there. He'd only been on, I think, what, four or five minutes. And he's crossed it, and Ward's done a nice little run. He's darted in and nodded it in, but the... It's defendable, you know. They're it's to me, it's a soft goal. It's a soft goal. We've switched off, and again, it's the old thing about the one goal lead. And it was very disappointing because I really didn't think they were going to come back. But even for the rest of the game, we had chances. But then the ref gave. You know, I mean, I'm going to go back to the ref. Fourth minute of injury time, he gives a free kick on the edge of the box. Fourth minute. Can you imagine what would have happened if, you know, they'd scored from that? It just bizarre.
I know.
Utterly.
No, I was concerned at the very end of the match that it was going to end badly there, Giannis.
Yeah, it would have been a disaster. But it is, you know, going back to what's at the start, say, you know, Scott, I know, is still listening. We're 6 games into the season. We have 46 league games. We are not even a quarter of the season. We're an eighth of the way through the season. There's absolutely no time to panic. The weather's going to get colder. The fields are going to get a little bit heavier. And this is where the squads are going to play their part. And if I'm looking at Cardiff City top of the table now and looking at what they've got versus what we've got and what we have available or we will have available, we're just fine. Today was one of those days when, unfortunately, we got jibbed and jobbed. And it just will scratch our heads. Hopefully, we don't get hammered.
I was just about to say, I'm glad that you talked about the ceiling, because the ceiling, that's what I'm calling it, for Cardiff City is not high. No. Our ceiling is much higher. The way that they play, you know, it's funny. I was going through the stats. The way that they play, I just think eventually it's going to catch up to them. I know people can say that going back a couple of years ago to Leicester City, because it is a little bit similar situation, even though they play a little bit differently. But I think eventually they cannot play this way and get the results that they need to keep them in the top six. I'm sorry, I don't see it. I just don't see it. I don't see this team making the top six. And like you mentioned, injuries will happen to this team. They're not deep. So let's talk about them getting the point, them forcing their style, especially in the first half on Fulham. But their ceiling is only at a certain level. We're just scratching the surface. That's the way I'm looking at it, my friend.
I couldn't agree more. I think you're absolutely bang on there. And we're only going to get better. And if the rumors that it looks like in the January window, Dwight Gale will be coming here. All I'm going to say is watch out.
Yeah.
Just watch out, because a team that's going to have Gale and Font, you know, I mean, how much did we miss Font today? Whoa, he'd have given them absolute kittens.
We missed him a great deal. I hate to go there, but I think we missed Rui Font today.
Massive. I would argue possibly, we missed him more than Kearney. And I love Kearney to death. But Font's movement off the ball is so clever. He's really a thinking player. And they're a big back four. So the physicality is never going to be the issue. The mobility, not quite, but the ability to think is going to be the issue. And where Font's going to move into channels and pockets. And that's what we really miss. And no disrespect to Aiete. Let's not forget, Aiete was coming back from an injury absence. So it's his first game back. And all things considered, he's done well. But Font was brilliant against Ipswich. Brilliant. If I might say so myself. So if you get him back in, he gives them absolute kittens. Warner got a break here. He'd have had a laugh going, oh, thank God for that. No Kearney, no Font. Oh, we got a chance here. But despite that, they were still negative about it.
Yeah.
Anyway, enough of Warner.
Enough of talking about Neil Warnock. I agree with you. Let's move on talking from him. But let's look at this full-time stats and let's see what they tell you, Giannis. So let's look at them. Possession, 64% to 36%. Shots, 12 to 11 in favor of Fulham. On target, 4 to 2 in favor of Fulham. Corners, 5 to 2 in favor of Fulham. Crosses, 23 to 12 in favor of Cardiff City. Tackles, 17 to 12 in favor of Cardiff City. Okay, and then we're looking at attempted passes, 428 to 224 in favor of Fulham. Attacking passes, 165 to 98 in favor of Fulham. This, to me, is a significant stat that I'm about to share with you. Passing accuracy, 77% for Fulham, which is down for them.
Yeah,
59% for Cardiff City. I think that tells a story in itself, Giannis. Accurate passes, 331 to 133. Aerial duels, 18 to 13 in favor of Fulham. That, to me, is encouraging, believe it or not. Fouls? Giannis, 22 to 18 in favor of Cardiff City. All right. What do the full-time stats tell you about this match?
Well, that we were probably the better side. And we had the more – I know that they hit the crossbar. We had more chances in open play. But we've not won. And, it is what it is. And it is disappointing because we created enough to have won it. I'm sure Slava will be privately seething at what happened, but we go into halftime 1-0 up. We forced them to change their tactics, but then we scored late. And to give credit to Cardiff, they equalised. They equalised, and as numbing as it is, it's what happened. Nonetheless, a decent performance. The stats say yet again. We've competed in all areas and we've just not got the points. But the beauty of this division is that there's usually one disappointing result usually means you've got a chance to rectify it around the corner. So for us, it'll be 96 hours time against Hull. So, and I'm very confident we're going to get 3 points there. But you know, the stats are good. Yep. Just the final score is the only thing that's that disappoints.
Okay, excellent there, my friend. Before I get your man of the match, let's go through the players. Let's do ratings. I do like it when you do your ratings, but let's just spend a little bit of time. Let's do first just David Button by himself. Give me a rating for David Button here.
Probably a 6. Not too much to do. You know, it's it's an interesting situation with him and Betts, eh? But Button has started the season brilliantly. Dixon coming off the line. Not too many problems there. Controlled his box. So I'll probably give him a 6.
Okay, excellent. Let's now go to the back four. We're talking Ryan Fredericks, Tomas Galas, Tim Ream, and Dennis Adoy.
I'm Fredericks for me, 7. Same with Adoy. Adoy's usually a little bit busier. But again, I mean, would he have started if the four players were, let's say 3 of the 4. I'm going to take Ojo out of the equation here. Maybe not, but he's done a super job this year. I thought both fullbacks did pretty well. I mean, they threw a 4-2-3-1 at us. And I thought particularly, Adoy was always going to have his hands full with Mendes Lang, but Fredericks largely kept Hoylett quiet. And Hoylett to me is... I know him well. He's Canadian international. He flatters to deceive. I actually think he plays better in a Canadian jersey than he does a club. But Fredericks, I thought, did a good job on him. The centre two, I'm going to give Ream a 7 and Callas an 8. Callas made a couple of nice blocks. Really coming to his own. Ream, a 7, and I feel a little sorry for Ream. Those of you that have watched World Cup qualifiers, will know that Tim Ream's front and center of the U.S. national team, and they had a difficult last couple of weeks. The U.S. they're going to have a challenge. Yeah, and they're going to have a challenge. I still think they're going to make the World Cup, maybe through the players. We'll see what happens. They've got a favorable last two games. And he often gets a lot of stick, but I thought those two were pretty solid.
He gets a lot, Giannis. He does. I'm glad that you mentioned this. He gets a lot. I'm actually just going back and forth with someone on Twitter about him telling me that that Jeff Cameron has been basically doing a better job than Tim Ream. And I'm telling him right now, I think Tim Ream's the better player. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, I think he is. But I think they're different players. I mean, to me, Cameron, to me, is always... I still see him as a fullback, whereas Ream is a prototypical centre back. Ream isn't fussy; he just does his job.
Right.
And he and Callas have got a good partnership here. They weren't really troubled today, to be honest. Pretty solid. And remember, they had to try and coax and manipulate a little bit what was a makeshift midfield four in front of them. And I thought they did a good job.
Okay, excellent. All right, I'm going to break this down to like a 4-3-3. So let's talk about Ibrahima Cisse, Kevin McDonald, and Stefan Johansson. At the very end, I will talk about the substitutions as well, get your rating for them. But let's just focus on these three here.
Cisse 7, McDonald 8, Johansson 9. I thought Cisse was decent until it looked like he was wearing down towards the end of the first half. He was getting kicked to lumps. I thought McDonald had a good game. Some great tackles. He was physical as always. His passing distribution was pretty good. Something that I think he's often underrated for. I thought Johansson. I actually give Johansson the man of the match. I thought, considering the job he was given to do, really to more or less cover the Kearney role, I thought he was excellent. And I'm gonna. I think he deserves a lot of kudos because. Norway had a very difficult 2 weeks, and Johansson, I suppose, was as much of a victim as anything. But the mark of a good player is one that can bounce back from individual and team performances where it doesn't go according to plan. I thought he was excellent today. He was asked to fill a role by Slaven. I thought he filled it well, and I think he deserves a lot of credit for that. He was my man of the match today.
Okay, excellent there, Giannis. All right, listen, we can call this a 4-2-3-1. We can call it a 4-3-3. But I just wanted to put the three midfielders together. And now let's talk about Ryan Sessegnon, Floyd Ayite, and Johan Molo.
Molo 7, Ayite 8, and Sessegnon 8.5. I think Molo, you know, he's been put into his first action, Molo, and I think he's equipped himself well. He's an interesting player. We've got one of the criticisms of Fulham fans. What the Fulham fans have is that we have too many wingers. Today we found out why we have that many wingers, and some would argue we don't have enough. I thought Molo did a good job, and let's not forget we didn't have Nathan Scabana today, and we would have missed him. And obviously Sonny Aluko going over to the Hoopers last week. But having said that, I thought he did a good job. I think I love the fact that there was, you know, free kick first half. He wanted to take it, which is great. And I tried to curl it round. That was a nice idea. I think the one thing he's going to have to watch is his team. Slava is going to sit down with him and say, look, this might not be what you're used to. You're going to get kicked to ribbons. You're going to get trash talked. Keep your composure. Keep your cool. That's probably as good a reason as any why he was subbed. I thought Ayite was honest, worked very, very hard. He was instrumental in the goal. He had a couple of chances. Again, considering he just come back from injury, played well. Sessegnon, I scratched my head as to the fact of his age and what he's able to do. He's such a scary player. Yes. And yeah, he's just, because he's playing like a kid. He's obviously having fun. And he's playing like he's got no pressure. And today, again, the reason I wouldn't make him man of the match is I think he's a couple of opportunities he'd like to have had back. His conversion rate would have to improve. He's going to have to improve, but it's going to improve. And it's not a criticism. It's just that he's a baby. But he was there, Johnny, on the spot to score the goal. And he causes nightmares for every right back. He causes nightmares. I mean, I don't think Peltier actually did that bad a job today. I mean, he could have been sent off for that wretched challenge on Johansson, but I don't think he did that badly against Sessegnon. But Sessegnon still gave him the runaround. I think any lineup that has Sessegnon playing in that position, you're going to have a real problem. Let's be honest. It's just a shame that we didn't have Font today, because I just think that Font would have caused. I thought he would have caused ructions. With their back, especially to me with Bamba, because if he's slotting between Bennett and Bamba, he'd have found the pockets. He did that against Ipswich and caused them mayhem. And I'd argue that they've got a better back for them than Cardiff. So we missed him. But despite that, I think the three strikers did well today.
Okay, excellent, Giannis. All right, let's talk about the substitutions here, because I think both of them had an impact. We've already been talking about it. Give me a rating for Oliver Norwood, and I definitely want a rating for Abubakar Kamara.
I'm going to give Abubakar Kamara 8 and Norwood 8.5. I thought Kamara did a good job, and I'm certainly not one of those that's going to criticize him, for sure. For those people that moan and groan, did you forget Darren Bent? You know, I hope you didn't. I mean,
Giannis, what impresses me about this player is his work rate and his desire. And that, to me, is half the battle. If he has the work rate and the ability to basically get involved with his teammates, which we saw in this match, then I think the goals are going to come. I think that part of his game is going to come. I'm convinced of it. So I don't understand all the flack that this player gets. I don't understand it, Giannis.
No, I don't either. I think it's because fans equate dollar amounts with...
I think that's what it is, actually, yeah, seriously. I think it's the amount that we paid for him.
We paid for him. And you know what? But he's still a baby. I mean, I'll throw this back at fans. Shefty Coochie. Chris Martin. I mean, the lesser... You know, do you want a donkey up front? Well, you know what? The one thing about him is his work rate is constant. He made a difference when he came on. He made a big difference when he came on. And that's, no one can deny that. And he's as I said earlier, he's growing into his body. He's developing as a striker. It's going to take him time, but he's going to get there.
He's only 22 years old. It's funny, Giannis, because I was thinking about this. He's a young kid. He's still learning his game. The difference between someone like him and Rui Font is really experienced and learning his body and developing as a player what he can and can't do in this league. I think that takes time. Players develop at different points of their career. Rui Font is more established at this point, so that's why it looks more natural, I think, for him. When it comes to Kamara, he's still figuring out the league, figuring out what he can do and what he can't do. And eventually he's going to figure out what he can do and really harness that feeling, and then we're going to see the goals come. I truly believe that. But he has the want, and I'm just frustrated by all the negativity I see on this player, Giannis.
Yeah, and I've got to agree with you there, because he, you know, why rightly or wrongly, and for whatever reasons, it takes different amounts of time for players to adjust to different clubs, different coaching staffs, different cities, different culture, different food, you name it, it happens. The thing with Kamara is that he's still a kid, but while he's still a kid and while he's still developing and growing into his body, what's the one thing we all want as fans? That he's got to work right. And he works hard. He works hard. That's it. And to me, that's all I want. He puts a shift in. He puts a shift in. He did. He came off the bench. He put a shift in. And that's all you want. That's mainly it. And I mean, that's, you got players out there who, you know, I was having a bit of a laugh thinking about, I don't know if you saw on Twitter, somebody posted an interview on BBC Radio 5 Live with Bredda Hangeland about the laziest 11 players he's ever played with. Brian Ruiz actually came up with that, which, fair enough. And Berbatov was in there. Although, you know, the more you think about Berbatov, the more you realize the utter brilliance of this player, how brilliant a player he was, the stuff he did. And I know he looked as lazy as old rope, but his skill level was so off the chart. And his thinking, is this thinking that really did me in? His ability just to read a play, read a situation, just remarkable. But we're not all blessed with that incredible, you know, level of skill. Kamara is still young. Look at Sessegnon. He's still young. This is still a young side that we've got out. And you know, the fans have got to, you've got to support you. You know, look at Jazz Richards. You know, who couldn't get off the bench for Cardiff City. Look at the players that we had. I mean, there was a lot of negative pushback about Shani Aluko. Do I like Aluko? Yeah. Are we going to miss him in a way? Yeah. Is he replaceable? Absolutely. Absolutely. We're going to be fine without Aluko, for sure. But I don't think, understand this thing with Kamara. I don't know. To me, it's not fair. But
I think you nailed it, Giannis. I think it has to do with the price tag.
And, the price tag, yeah. Yeah, that's what it is.
And that's where, you know, and again, that's where it probably comes from. But I remember hearing all this stuff about Chris Martin last year, too, when he didn't score goals in the beginning. Eventually, he started scoring goals. But the difference between the two players, Chris Martin, as we found out during the season, didn't want to be at Fulham. He wanted to be back at Derby County. Fine. He's back at Derby County. Everything that I've seen about this player, the way that he plays with his teammates, I haven't heard him speak, but just his actions. Tell me of a player that wants to be at Fulham and wants to get better. That's all I can ask for as a supporter, Giannis.
I think that's bang on. I mean, Chris Martin's attitude was front and center.
Horrible. Horrible. And I wanted him at Fulham. He was horrible.
Yeah. And McCormack, let's not forget, you know, I sat at the cottage in that preseason game a couple of years back against Palace. And McCormack was with his wife and baby then, but, you know, got to meet him here and got to meet his parents, his wife and what have you. But when he sat in the car, as a fan, he was so negative. He was, you know, and his body language was all wrong. And, right. You know, the number of clubs he's joined and the movement and the, you know, it's one thing if you got a club and there's a rumor about your attitude, but if that reputation follows you wherever you go, there's truth to the rumor. And he's does he score goals? Yeah, but he's seen as a pariah. And so, you know, at the end of the day, do you want players who want to play for you? Yes, you do. The Martin thing in the middle of the season the Martin thing almost derailed our season last year.
It did, Giannis.
Yeah.
So, you know, listen, I want players that have skill, but I also want players that want to be at Fulham Football Club. You look at McCormack, and for all the skill, for all the talent that the guy had, what did he bring us? He scored all these goals, Giannis.
Yeah,
what did he bring us? Because it was about Ross McCormack. It wasn't about the team.
That's what
I'm seeing right now is a bunch of players that's about the team. I watched an interview with Kevin McDonald that I highly recommend all fans watching by Jamie Reed. You can watch it with the Fulham FC TV. If you have a subscription, please check that out. I'm just telling you, he seems like a leader. We have a bunch of players that want to be a Fulham, players that you can build around. Tom Kearney stayed. Ryan Sessegnon stayed. Kamara wants to be at Fulham based on his actions. Rui Font wants to be at Fulham based on his actions. I want players that want to be here. I don't care if you have all this talent, because all the talent in the world doesn't matter if you don't want to be at the club and you don't care about the team. I want players that want to be here. And I'll give Kamara much more time because it's obvious to me, watching his actions, he cares, Giannis.
I couldn't have put it better myself. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right on that. You know, we want players that want to be here. And that's what Kamara does.
Yep. Sorry, I went on a little bit of a rant there, but I'm just a little frustrated.
It's all good, Ross.
That I'm seeing, my friend. All right. Uh-huh. All right, listen, I'm actually going to go through some thoughts from the Fulham supporters on Man of the Match, because I actually put this on the Cutters Talk Facebook page, and I also put it on Twitter, but I didn't give people enough time, so I only have one on Twitter. Carl Simmons says, Odoi. Okay, on the Facebook page, we have a few. Steve Cockle says, Dennis Odoi. Judith Hopcroft says, thought Mallow had a good debut, lots of pace and determination. Great cross, too. Richard Bamber, Odoi. Okay, Roger Lewis says, Kevin McDonald for us and the ref for Cardiff.
Yeah.
I like that, Roger. Very good. Okay. All right, Giannis. Very interesting thoughts from the Fulham supporters. It's nice to see people talking about Dennis Odoi here.
Oh, I tell you what, let's not forget him coming as a makeshift centre back after the Reading fiasco and the job he did. And look, he started off the season gangbusters. I gave it to Johansson only because he's in a difficult situation with a revamped formation in a big game. And he's asked to fill big shoes. I don't know, he's obviously an international player, but it's not easy nonetheless. And I thought he did a very, very good job. But I don't have a problem with Odoi. Odoi really did anything wrong. And he's a fine player. And he could maybe count himself a little bit unlucky that he's, there's a couple of, a couple of games on the bench. You could argue that he's done more than enough to start a left back if you're going to put Sessegnon on the left, but I have no problems with that. Another player who's a team player, right?
Absolutely. Total team player. That's what I want. I want team players. I want players that have skill, but if you have skill and a team player, that's the ultimate for me. All right, Giannis, let's finish up talking about this match by talking about Savica. Give him a rating.
I'm going to give him a 9. I'm going to be kind to him because he obviously had an issue with the lineup because of absentees. He rejigged the formation. It did not start off brilliantly, but we grew into it. He made positive substitutions. I'm not sure what more he could have done. I mean, you could argue Norwood could have started, but considering Cardiff City. Could he have brought maybe Jordan Graham on? He's shown faith with the camera, and the camera's done well. So I'm hovering between 8.5 and 9. Maybe I'll do in honor of a former host we used to have here. I'm gonna go different. I'll go 8.75.
Okay, very good there, my friend. All right. Before we wrap this up, I want to talk a little bit about Hull City because you and I have talked about off air. I find this a wonderful opportunity for Fulham. It actually has been reported by Aaron Paul from BBC London Sport that apparently two players that are going to be out for this match, Giannis, from Savica's presser after the match, is still going to be Tom Kearney and Shea Ojo. So that's unfortunate. Those players will not be available, according to Aaron Paul. So that's just something to talk about and think about heading into this match. But I think Fulham have shown in this match, even though we only got a draw, that they should have enough to beat Hull City. And the one thing I want to mention about Hull City is that I watched a good amount of their match against Derby County, their last match. They lost 5-0 to Derby County. On the road, they lost 5-0. And what's interesting about this, I look at the stats, Giannis, and they actually tell me a little bit of a story. Because Hull actually dominated possession in this match. They had 58% to 42%. They had 18 shots, 3 on target. But when you look at Derby County, they had 15 shots and 7 on target. They took advantage of their opportunities. And I have to tell you that Hull City were extremely sloppy defensively. And if you look at how many goals they've given up so far, I believe it's 12. And Fulham have only given up 4, Giannis. Think about that. We're not talking enough about this, Giannis. We're not leaking goals. We've only given up 4 goals in 6 matches. That's pretty good.
Yes, it is.
So that's something to be encouraged by. And Hull City have some players that you're probably familiar with. Nuha Dicko, Seb Larson, who used to play at Sunderland. They do have some dangerous players. I believe in the last match, just to give you a formation that they played. I'm just pulling this up, and I'll just tell you quickly. I believe it was a 4-2-3-1. I just want to double check here. And yes, it was a 4-2-3-1. With Dicko leading the line there. And listen, they have some decent players. But this is a match Fulham can win. And they're, like I said, Hull City are coming off a horrific loss. So what are your thoughts heading into this match for Fulham on Wednesday against Hull City?
I mean, twofold. I mean, Hull got clobbered last night. But you'd like to think they're going to have a reaction on Wednesday night. I mean, that's an absolute thumping. Been a lot of changes there. And they've not exactly got off to a flyer this season, have they? So it's going to be an important game for them to try and rebound. I mean, they'll have had 5 days to try and get ready. You know, they do have some quality players. But I just happen to think that, you know, we should have too much. I mean, not having Kearney is a worry now, not so much for that game. But, you know, do we really know the extent of the injury here?
I know, yeah. That's been my thought about this. If he's going to be missing this match as well, what's going on here?
I don't know. But then you know as well as I do that clubs tend to be cagey. I mean, you know, coming from our, you know, where we live, our neck of the woods, NFL coaches and NHL coaches with, you know, upper body injuries, lower body injuries, and all that bollocks. Funnily enough, of course, if you look at the table, they're level on points with us. And they've scored 12, which is great. They've given up 12. Yeah, the top goal scorers joint with Leeds, but they've given up 12. And so they're going to, you know, I think that they'll give us a little bit of a challenge, but I can't see anything past us winning this. We should take a lot of confidence into that game. And, you know, what will happen with Font? Well, I'm not sure. Will he be available? We hope so. But I think at the same time, we should have enough. But the Kearney thing does concern me a little bit. This is, you know, because it was less than 24 hours after the Ipswich game that he announced that he was pulling out of the Scotland squad for the World Cup qualifiers. And my first thought then was, okay, good. He's you know, that might be he's picked up a little bit of a knock. He's saving himself for Fulham. But that was 2 weeks. So we now know he's obviously not going to play till next weekend. So that will have been 3 weeks off. So 3 weeks off, it's not a, I mean, it, you know, it, I'm going to assume it's knee linked unless it's a groin strain. And so that's cause for concern, because you, for us to get where we need to get, we have to have our strongest players out. And that's a key. But I can't see anything past us beating Hull City. And you and I, especially you, despise Hull.
Oh, so, I can't stand Hull City.
Yeah, so it's we thumped him in the FA Cup last year.
Yeah.
It'll be nice. It's hilarious that they're in our division anyway. That's a good thing about our division. There are lots of dislikable teams.
Oh, and this is one of them.
And this is one of them. Yeah. Although I have to give I have to pay tribute to our honourable friends down the road at Griffin Park. Their beloved Brentford being second from bottom, couldn't think of a nicer club to be there apart from the Ha-Has. Actually, the Ha-Has have made a decent start of the season, little buggers.
They have.
But we'll catch up with them. But it's a game, as I said. I think we should be able to take care of Hull.
I think we can, Giannis. You know, we'll have to check on the situation with Rui Font and Niskanen Cabano. But if Rui Font's available, I think that will make a huge difference. What's interesting about Hull City after watching this last match is that they want to play. And that definitely works in our favor. If they want to play, they want to come to Fulham, they want to try to, you know, really deal with them having the majority of the possession, that just please play to us, because we are eventually will get the possession and we will dominate the game. So if they're not going to, if they're not going to play a defensive game against us, if they're going to play an open game, that fits us.
Yeah, and that's the only thing that concerns me. You know, once bitten, twice shy. Will they adopt the same thing? Maybe they'll go, okay, we'll better cut our losses and try and defend. Well, we'll but I don't. I mean, their back four's not great.
No.
I don't. You know, they if they're going to try and sit back, we should have enough craft to create chances. They won't be as physical as Cardiff City. But as you said earlier, if they decide and they want to dance with us, we're more than willing partners. And if that's absolutely the way they're going to do it, we should be able to get a few goals against them.
Right. If their approach is going to be similar to what it was against Derby County, we're going to win this match, and I think we're going to win it pretty well. If they take the view that Cardiff City has, some of the more defensive teams have when they've come to Craven Cottage, then it might be a little bit more of a struggle. But if they want to play, I'm telling you right now, Fulham will be willing dance partners, and I think that suits us. So I'm hoping that they decide, you know what, we're going to play. And if they do, I think it's going to be a Fulham victory. And even if they don't, I still think it's going to be a Fulham victory, but I think it'd be easier if they're willing to play. All right, Giannis. Sure. Great show. Fantastic show, my friend. Before we go, I always like to get your final thoughts.
Thinking of the people, thinking of the residents of Florida. Obviously, yeah, I mean, Irma battered parts of the West Indies. Cuba got hit. Florida, latest pictures are showing it's looking like Miami may miss it in terms of the eye, but Tampa's going to, the west coast of Florida is going to get it. So thoughts and prayers there. And I thought I'd end with something amusing that I just read on CNN. Okay. This is for all the guys out there that, for you know, the guys that think that they're safe. It's an NFL story that I'll share with you. I'm not sure if you know this, but it was announced today that the former New York Jets and Indianapolis Colts cornerback Antonio Cromartie just had a daughter, right? And ordinarily nobody would give a bollocks. But not only is it his 14th kid and his wife's 6th kid, but apparently it's his 3rd kid since undergoing a vasectomy in 2013. Oh. So, you know, we live in the strangest world, don't we, Russ? You know, I mean,
yes,
what could I say? 14 kids, like, really? And after having a vasectomy, 3 more. I don't know. I just, you got to laugh. You know, this is what the planet we live in. We've got Donald Trump. We've got people having 14 kids. We've got 3 hurricanes in space of 2 weeks that, you know, threatened human life. And then we got Fulham fans that are moaning on about camera. Yeah. So, you know, perspectives, eh, Russ?
Yes. Well, I'm going to end with something that's about you, my friend. My thoughts are with you. Your mom, you know, actually has been dealing with something, and I just want to just let you know that I'm thinking about you. And, you know, you and I both lost a father, and both have our moms, and I'm just, you know, I'm thinking about you. I hope your mom's okay. You and I have been talking back and forth. It seems like she's doing okay.
Yep.
So my thoughts are with you, Giannis.
Thank you, matey. She's in a little bit of, you know, she lost a year ago, last July. And it's often you get issues in terms of living in denial. She's been a little bit in denial. She's having some tests and, you know, I call her the old bat. You know, I was talking to her last and said, how are you doing, your old bat? You know, which she has to laugh. But thank you. I've had a lot of tremendous feedback and well wishes, and I've passed them on. And she just has to learn to take it easy. I think she's, since Dad's passing, she's thought that she has to do 50 times as much as she did when he was living. And I understand, you know, the fear of losing life, but sometimes you've got to take care of yourself. So I'll certainly pass it on. I really appreciate that, Russ. And, you know, like everything else, you know, life is brought into is brought into it's perspective, isn't it, Russ? You just you never know when you're going to get taken. And luckily, we have things like a new school I was at. I was asked, I'm going to put a picture up on Facebook. On the edge, I got a new desk, and it was delivered to me Thursday. And on the edge of the desk, I've got four Fulham bears, little teddy bears, and the names are Philip. Because Philip was, I don't know why I called it Philip, but I did. Second is Ivor after the Gordon Davis, and Rodney after Rodney Marsh, and George after George Best. So I've got these four little bears, and people are asking me, well, what is that logo? And I said, well, it's Fulham. And I've worn my Fulham tie every day this week to school.
That's great.
So they know, they now know that I live, eat, breathe, and poo Fulham Football Club. It is what it is. It is the shrine of football in London. And for anybody that doubts it out there, lest we forget that our friends down the road in Chelsea, that Stamford Bridge is actually in Fulham. So Chelsea are Fulham B.
I love it, Giannis. That's a great story to end the show. All right, my friend, but we do have to wrap this up. For Giannis Shanaeus, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk.